there's no substitute for knocking on the door, making a personal connection, having your neighbor ask you to vote a certain way. And they just did that for months, relentlessly.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what we can learn from the New York City mayoral election. A dramatic race for New York City mayor ended with a surprise.
Tonight, we made history.
Tonight was not our night.
33-year-old Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani secured a stunning win in the Democratic primary as he looks to trade the state assembly for Gracie Mansion. The victory in the 11-candidate ranked choice election also means a setback for former Governor Andrew Cuomo, who was hoping to make a comeback after resigning under pressure in 2021. And joining us now to break it down is Spectrum's Errol Lewis, the host of Inside City Hall. Welcome back, Errol.
Great to be with you, Ian.
How surprised were you by the outcome?
Not all that surprised. There were indications all along that an upset, there could be an upset in the making. Nobody could be sure, of course, but, in February, Mamdani, the assemblyman, was polling at 1% approval, 1%. And then each successive month, it seemed to just leap exponentially, so that then it was 10%, and then it was 20%, and then it was 30%, and it was a single-digit race coming into primary night. So we knew that all of the momentum was behind him. The only question was whether or not Andrew Cuomo would be able to hold it off.
You wrote an analysis for New York Magazine just after the result, contrasting Mamdani's tireless campaigning with Cuomo, who made very few public appearances, and he kind of ran as inevitable. So was this a vote in favor of kind of old school barnstorming?
Well, sure. Old school canvassing, knocking on doors. My wife says that I'm out during the evening, but my wife says they knocked on our door six different times, the Mamdani campaign, and no one else did it even once. It was an entirely different theory of how to do things. And the Cuomo campaign had no field operation to speak of. They were relying on county political organizations as well as the unions that were endorsing him. But in the end, those organizations didn't do very much for him. So there's no substitute for knocking on the door, making a personal connection, having your neighbor ask you to vote a certain way. And they just did that for months, relentlessly. And they claim that they had ultimately over 1 million doors that they knocked on.
Do you think any of the other 11 candidates set themselves up well for the future based on how Tuesday shook out?
Oh, that's a great question. Not really, because of the top four finishers, you had Cuomo, whose political career may now be over. You had Brad Lander, who came in a disappointing third, but did so in an alliance with Zoran Mamdani. So he gave up a safe citywide seat in order to run. He didn't make it as mayor, but there's a widespread expectation that he may go into a Mamdani administration if Mamdani should become the mayor and be either a first deputy or a special advisor or a high-ranking commissioner of some kind. And then there's Adrienne Adams, who came in a disappointing fourth. She is the city council speaker right now, but she's term limited. And there's some talk that she might end up on a statewide ticket, maybe as a lieutenant governor.
Yeah, talk she seems to have encouraged on your network.
Yes, indeed. And it kind of makes sense. She's got the right profile. She's got a lot of patience. She has a corporate background. You know this better than me, but my sense is that she would sell well upstate, so to speak. And she certainly is a known quantity downstate and could pull out a lot of votes in communities of color and in New York City. So she's politically very talented and probably still very available. However, all of that was true before she became a candidate for mayor. And of course, she was disappointed at her finish.
So as you and I speak, Governor Cuomo has kept the door open to continuing on through November. Do you see a path for him to still win this race in the general?
Well, let me describe the path and then tell you why I think it's not likely to happen.
Okay.
The path is Mamdani as the Democrat, Our sitting mayor, Eric Adams, who has created his own independent line and will be running. There's a lawyer named Jim Walden who has matching funds, meaning he'll have a couple of million dollars to throw into this race. There's a Republican named Curtis Sliwa. And so with that as the field, the theory is that running on his own independent line, Andrew Cuomo has enough name recognition and enough money and enough support that maybe that same 38% that he just got in the primary would be enough to win a citywide election. Here's why I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. Andrew Cuomo has a history of third-party connections that just don't work out very well. So, for example, this is ancient history now, Ian, but back in 2002, he ran briefly for governor and then dropped out of the race on out of the Democratic primary. But he was on the Liberal Party line and in theory could have gone on and was supposed to, in fact, go on to November and at least put in enough effort to get them the 50,000 votes required to stay a permanent ballot status party. And he didn't put in any effort at all. And they went out of existence for all intents and purposes. And then fast forward, as governor, he created something called the Women's Equality Party. Not because he was interested in forming a new party so much, but in order to kind of – he was doing sort of a back-and-forth rivalry, some opposition with the Working Families Party. And so the WEP, Women's Equality Party, was intended to sort of sow a little confusion and cause a little heartache for the Working Families Party. And there again, he put in no effort, and the party essentially went out of business. So I don't know that this is going to be the exception and that this one time he decides to, you know, fight it out on an independent line in November. He has not only no history of doing that in the past, he has a history, as I just described, of doing the opposite.
So with respect to Mamdani, some New York Democrats, especially who represent, you know, marginal seats, are already trying to publicize the distance they see between themselves and Mamdani's political project. So will he be embraced enough let's assume he wins this race in November, to actually be an effective mayor, given that a lot of Democrats in his party don't seem to want to get too close to him?
Well, listen, let me tell you this. The city will function because the city has to function. You know, as they say, failure is not an option. The 100-odd billionaires who call New York City home, the major industry that's headquartered here, the leaders of the state political apparatus who are all based here, nobody's going to let New York City go under. And so I think what will happen is they'll do what they always do, is figure out what the mayor's priorities are and figure out a way to try and enact them as best they can, or to tell them no if they have to. And, you know, keep in mind, we're not talking about anything terribly dramatic here. You know, there's been a lot of fear and fright being whipped up by people, but the actual program, and I covered this race from start to finish. I mean, he's talking about free bus service, which would cost about $600-700 million a year. He's talking about making childcare universal, which is basically an extension of our existing early education programs, the pre-K and 3K programs for public schools in New York City. And he's talking about a rent freeze. And that's something that we actually did several times during the Blasio administration between 2014 and 2021. So, you know, there's nothing super radical actually being proposed. And I think when people realize that, they'll settle down and, you know, there'll be some kind of a transition and so forth. But of course, all of this depends on what happens in November. A lot of the people who are frightened of Mamdani are starting to coalesce already around Eric Adams to see if they can maybe help him get a re-election and hold off this progressive wave that they seem to be so frightened of.
Now, just to zoom out a couple of clicks, and I wonder what your take is on this. The Mamdani victory in the primary was kind of something of a Rorschach test. And what stuck out to me was what Elise Stefanik, the Northern New York congresswoman who wants to run for governor, said, which was that Mamdani's victory proves that there's dissatisfaction with the Democratic standard bearers, and that is bad news for Kathy Hochul next year. You know what, though? Some Democrats made the same point, so I wonder where you come down on that.
Well, yes, both are correct. There's a lot of dissatisfaction. One of the final polls, I think it was by Marist College before the primary, showed that something like 77% of New York City voters think that the city is on the wrong track, heading in the wrong direction. I'm sure you'd find comparable numbers statewide. And you and I know, Ian, that New Yorkers are just a cranky bunch. So on a good day, only 60% or 50% would be dissatisfied. But high 70% is a little unusual. And to the extent that people are telling, I mean, they're screaming it at the top of their lungs. They're showing us, they're telling the pollsters, they're showing it at the polls. They're voting for Donald Trump. They're voting for Zoran Mamdani. They want something different. The system is not working for them. And any candidate, whether it's Kathy Hochul or anybody else, who responds to that reality, I think probably has a good chance of getting reelected. But if you try and pretend otherwise and just tell people, hey, suck it up, you know, hey, you can't afford the bus fare, tough luck, we're not doing anything about it. Well, you know, you'll be on the outside looking in. I mean, people have started to mobilize around the idea that their affordability, their future, their quality of life is too important to be delayed, and they're not going to be scared out of it by people saying, you know, the streets are dangerous, let's hire a bunch of cops. People don't want to hear that anymore.
I love speaking with Errol Lewis from Spectrum. He's the host of Inside City Hall. Errol, great catching up, and thanks for all of your insights on this very exciting week in New York politics.
Thanks a lot. Great being with you, Ian.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.